chaotic system. A chaotic system is one in which the final outcome depends very sensitively on the initial conditions. Example, white water in a stream is an excellent example of a chaotic system. If you start a chip of wood at one position, it will come out at a particular point on the other side of a rapids. If you start a second chip of wood at a position almost but not quite identical to that of the first, the second chip will, in general, come out of the rapids far from where the first one did. The final outcome, the position of the chips, thus depends sensitively on the initial conditions, the place where they started their journey. Now we will move into free will actions of, say, a society. The general outcome can be calculated and somewhat predicted by the interesting rule of thumb regarding chaos is its lack of predictability. For all practical purposes, the behavior of chaotic systems cannot be predicted. It is impossible to measure accurately the initial conditions of a system. The position of even the exampled wood chip at the beginning of its journey can only be determined as accurately as that best ruler available can measure. Since the final position of the wood chip will be very different if the chip is moved by an amount smaller than even this small margin of error, it follows that there is no way to predict where a wood chip will wind up in the river. Physicists and writers get around this by simply expressing this chaotic system as unpredictable. By this, it is not implied or even stated that it cannot be known the state of a system quite precisely, nor that you cannot predict where it will be at some time in the future. These kinds of predictions are constantly made, now rather accurately, through computer modelers. What is meant is that because it is never possible to make a perfect set of measurements to determine the initial state of a chaotic system, the further states can never be totally predictable. There are some systems which are so important to change through the most minute change in factors as to be incapable of accuracy to a finite calculation. Why? Because you have to consider linear versus nonlinear. Chaos is nonlinear. You're accustomed to calculating linear equations, the kind that describe familiar physics. One thing changes in direct proportion to another. For example, when you turn up the volume on your sound system, say stereo, twice as much turn gives you twice as much volume. In a nonlinear system, this simple kind of relation does not hold. It's similar to what you get in your stereo system when you turn it up too loud and suddenly you get whines, whistles, distortion, and all kinds of strange things, even to the cracking of the box itself. For technical reasons, the solution of nonlinear equations is a very difficult business, largely impossible to achieve without computers, if at all. So the scientists come up with another input called fractals. F-R-A-C-T-A-L-S.
Before we go into fractals, let's listen just a minute. You have a world moving in chaos. Some of it will be very orderly, and I like to think that you can relate, say, to your own place here. You are in Tehachapi. You have an election going on, and you have 14 people putting up 150 signs around, and they're all over. And what can you predict? Well, you can take some computer modeling if you want to, and you can enter names and what are all these people around Tehachapi going to do on voting day? Well, so many are calculated to go vote. And the likelihood of a favorite son getting in is pretty good. The likelihood of a few fixed votes is pretty good, although the ones you have running this time aren't as into fixed votes as the ones running last time. So you can even balance off with that equation. But supposing everything goes right up here until the day before the election. And one of your black helicopters flies over, now armed to the teeth with their missiles and their guns. All of you should have seen them by now. And they drop one. And it's a nuclear missile. And it lands right in the middle of Tehachapi, or between Tehachapi and Old Town. And you have a mushroom cloud arise from that blast the size of Hiroshima. What do you think you're going to have on Tuesday? On voting day. That's chaos. And you better pay attention to the fractals involved. And Dr. Young will be happy to explain that to you.
So the scientists come up with another input called fractals. You see, for any unknown, it has to be accepted and recognized and then studied to make it a known. Heading fractals. Fractals comprise another phenomenon that arises in nonlinear systems. The fractal is a contraction of fractional dimension. How can it be described so that you can have an idea regarding of that of which we speak? Let us example this time a garden hose, which is coiled into a pile. From a far distance, it has no dimensions. It just appears as a point. Closer, it is seen as a solid object and therefore has the typical three dimensions. Finally, from inside the coil, the hose becomes simply a one-dimensional expression. Since you can now specify from your vantage point any location on it by saying how far it is from the end. Thus, depending on the point of view, the dimensionality of the hose goes from 0 to 3 to 1 dimensions. Fractals are a way of dealing with what happens in between. Fractals can arise in nonlinear systems. An example of such a fractal is given here. Start with a triangle, and then in the middle of each side of the triangle, draw another triangle. Then keep doing this on every straight line forever. It is obvious that if you look at any piece of this system at any level of magnification, you will see the same things. That is, a straight line with triangles on it. It is obvious that there is a connection between the appearance of things at different scales of magnification. In fact, if you think about it, you'll realize that you could not tell, just looking at a line, what was the actual magnification. Now that you are confused and in a state of individual chaos over the subject, what is my point? Simple. It is a perception which must be attended, but it is not new, and it is not the focus around which life, physical or dimensional, will revolve. It simply is, and it, like all things in physical expression, is perceived. How a child will perceive a blossom is very different indeed from the way in which a gardener of prized blossoms will perceive the same flower. Is one more valid than the other? No, only perceived through more varied input and knowledge. The child's perception is undoubtedly the less complicated, for it will be expressed without judgment. However, if the point is to have prized blossoms, there is more required than no judgment of the blossom in point. If it is lesser or more than another, why? If total chaos controls a society, the why must be considered before order can become. Now, however, comes a difficult perception. How can you really discern what is orchestrated happenings and chaotic happenings? Results. If man, for instance, develops a strain of virus altered to avoid all treatment, then casts it onto society, you can know the intention is very ordered toward intended destruction of masses of humanity. This is not chaos. This is simply a shrouding by use of your perception of chaos, so you don't catch him meddling in the population control of your society. No military motive. Dear ones, please do not think that in these massive underground research facilities that there is simply war material taking shape. You think of war material and weapons as warheads, bullets, phasers, etc. No, in most of these massive facilities, there is incredible tampering with genes, DNA structures, and thus and so. This is where the only imagined death machines are birthed and tested. Are there aliens there? What are aliens? If in England a man from France is an alien, if on Earth a being from Orion is an alien, so in every instance there are aliens in both categories. Further, if the Godhead or Overmind is back to take his property, would it not be reasonable that he will have his own with him, integrated, prepared?
And let me interrupt. You're going to find the term overlord utilized. This is not what I said. Above and beyond the overlord is the overmind. And that's what wins. Hold it in your heart. Go on, please.
Creator needs no new planets, no new citizens, for if there is need for further advanced perfection, he has but to create it, and not from lesser species. There may well be an effort on his part to improve or teach your own species, but human man seems to have desires which will always move to the debasement through ego transition into the darker expression before he realizes his whole journey is to move within the light and beyond that physical restraint which binds and limits every facet of expression. So, Norma might ask me how I come to know so much about this play. My sarcastic reply could well be, because I wrote it. Either way, I know the players, the script, and the outcome. Your choices are yours, but I can see further. Does Norma know? Yes, but like you, she doesn't realize she knows, and therein lies the problem, in lack of accurate realization. I didn't say reality. I very carefully and selectively said realization. Truth in realization. Unfortunately, the facts are that if you refuse to come into realization of what is, there is no hope of creating that which might be. You will forever in this plane be limited by that which you allow others to impress upon your perception. If you cannot realize at some point along this finite journey, stop off, what is the energy resource of self and universe, how can you possibly conceive the dimensional expressions of energy called you? Wilhelm Reich. I am not a respecter of given individual discoverers, for they are but the rediscoverers of existence, bearing pieces of the puzzle of what is God and what is God's creative force. In every instance, when all else fails, go to the source and the answers are there, simple and beautifully wondrous. If you have infinite beings in an infinite universe, you must have infinite source and resource. If you are made up of energy, be it expressed as simply invisible energy flow or matter, expressed in that which is coalesced into that which his physical perceptions can receive and define, it has to be a massively infinite resource, does it not? Well, it does and is. It is expressed by several labels, from orgone energy to scalar waves, cosmic energy to prana, life, creative force. I can call it whichever you like best, but since it was, in your time frame, expressed nicely by Dr. Reich as orgone energy, I can utilize that which is already familiar to some of you and speak about the biophysics of the orgone energy. I can better outlay it in simple English, as from one who speaks simple English, and save myself the time and bother and your doubts by offering you what is already available, if you know where to search. This I will take from a nice little presentation of one James DeMaio from the Orgone Accumulator Handbook. Shall we do
Orgone? Yes, go for it, because you can build these. And the instructions are right in that handbook.
What is the Orgone energy? Orgone energy is cosmic life energy, the fundamental creative force, long known to people in touch with nature and speculated about by natural scientists, but now physically objectified and demonstrated. The orgon was discovered by Dr. Wilhelm Reich, who identified many of its basic properties. For instance, the orgon energy charges and radiates from all living and non-living substance. It also can readily penetrate all forms of matter, though with varying rates of speed. All materials affect the orgon energy by attracting and absorbing it, or by repelling or reflecting it. The orgon can be seen, felt, measured, and photographed. It is a real physical energy and not just some metaphorical, hypothetical force.
And this is measurable. Measurable. There are two people by the name of Wilhelm that you once must hold in your hearts. And you're going to find both functioning this very day, even though they have been gone a long, long time. One is Wilhelm Reich that we're talking about here, and Wilhelm Röntgen, who could literally show you and teach you how to measure X-ray. These are incredibly important people. And I speak of importance in the term not of he is really important, VIP. I'm talking about important. You see, Adolf Hitler was a very, very, very important man because he had a massive impact on large, large numbers of people. He was not necessarily a likable, nice man. So don't confuse importance with just being popular or well-known. And these are two very important Wilhelms. Go on, please.
The orgon also exists in a free form in the atmosphere and in the vacuum of space. It is excitable, compressible, and spontaneously pulsatile, capable of expanding and contracting. The orgon charge within a given environment or within a given substance will vary over time, usually in a cyclical manner. The orgon is most strongly attracted to living things, to water, and to itself. Orgon energy can lawfully stream or flow from one location to another in the atmosphere, but it generally maintains a west to east flow, moving with but slightly faster than the rotation of the earth. It is an ubiquitous medium, a cosmic ocean of dynamic, moving energy, which interconnects the whole physical universe. All living creatures, weather systems, and planets respond to its pulsations and movements. The orgon is related to, but quite different from, other forms of energy. It can, for instance, impart a magnetic charge to ferromagnetic conductors, but it is not magnetic itself. It can likewise impart an electrostatic charge to insulators, but neither is it fully electrostatic in nature. It reacts with great disturbance to the presence of radioactive materials or to harsh electromagnetism, but in the manner of irritated protoplasm. It can be registered on specially adapted Geiger counters. The orgon also is the medium through which electromagnetic disturbances are transmitted, much in the manner of the older concept of aether, or ether, A-E-T-H-E-R, though it is not itself electromagnetic in nature. Streamings of orgon energy within the Earth's atmosphere affect changes in air circulation patterns. Atmospheric orgon functions underlie the buildup of storm potentials and influence air temperature, pressure, and humidity. Cosmic orgon energy functions also appear to be at work in space, affecting gravitational and solar phenomena. Still, the mass-free orgon energy is not any one of these physio-mechanical factors, or even itself, much in the manner of the older concept of a vital force, or élan vital. Unlike those older concepts, however, the orgon also has been found to exist in a mass-free form in the atmosphere and in space. It is primary, primordial, cosmic, life energy, while all other forms of energy are secondary in nature. Hatton's comment, "So, you are going to have to quit assuming you can go to a petrol station and fill up, good friends." In the living world, organ energy functions underlie major life processes, pulsation, streaming, and charge of the biological organ determines the movements, actions, and behavior of protoplasm and tissues, as well as the strength of bioelectrical phenomena. Emotion is the ebb and flow, the charge and discharge of the organ within the membrane of an organism, just as weather is the ebb and flow, the charge and discharge of the organ in the atmosphere. Both organism and weather respond to the prevailing character and state of the life energy. Organ energy functions apparently across the whole of creation, in microbes, animals, storm clouds, hurricanes, and galaxies. Organ energy not only charges and animates the natural world, we are immersed in a sea of it, much as a fish is immersed in water. More, it is the medium which communicates emotion and perception, through which we are connected to the cosmos and made kin to all that is living. I bet your little girl liked that. Giandriana, taking this above into consideration, how are you going to transfer or transition this energy into your own being? Through that which is created directly from and energized by the same life force. We can offer you the same creative structure which converts these frequencies and energies in flow, but you must first integrate them within your own structure to program your own cellular individuality or DNA blueprint. This can be done in several ways, but the first and most easily accessed is simply to intake such a substance, in our case a solution already grown in the presence and enhancement of direct organ presence, along with that which is impacting in frequency from invisible light rays of universal origin. The cells are simply structures, totally integratable with any individual cell, becoming one with it, only in perfection with high-frequency motion. In physical experimentation, there is a crossing deliberately of slough-over particulate of DNA, which can move through the atmosphere and cannot be stopped by containers of many sorts. And if there were perfect containers, you would not be able to function while utilizing them. So what faces you as a species? A protection system built in which disallows takeover by influxing alien DNA structuring. This in turn must come from individual cell capability of disallowing function of introduced DNA. Cancer is nothing save a normal mutation of cells through these mutated cells of alien DNA. The immune system of the host should be able to disallow takeover by these aliens. But not so in a structured scientific society, wherein the body is made to be imperfect and at jeopardy for takeover. If bombarded by too many alien structures, the body cannot defend itself and will perish. Or, if the structures are compatible with life, will produce a hybrid or compromised new product. Well, if you're a good little person and take all your stuff, will you be immune to any attack? No. And an overwhelming input will compromise and perhaps take out a weak system. However, if the proper vitamin, mineral, electrolyte balance can be attained, the immune system will adjust and confront the attackers and can prevail. This does not mean that you won't ever be sick or needing recovery. It does mean that while a population dies, you may well be able to prevail. I speak of these things in this message because you seem to expect God to do everything for you. And if it is not accomplished free of charge and free of effort on your part, it is false, and you pronounce judgment of failure upon other while defending self. It is solely up to you, whichever you choose, and neither will all make it in physical form. However, I can promise you that anyone who attends this type of security care will not have concern over life form in higher energy flow as transitions occur between dimensions. This is not some kind of medical thing. We are not talking here about antibiotics of some kind, and we would not be allowed to share those with you if we were. The intent of the elite controllers is to kill off a bunch of you, through one route or another. So get over the dream of cure coming from them or anyone else. They will not allow that, my friends. Oh, you don't like it that way? I'm sorry, Chilas, that's the way it is. And furthermore, until you choose it to be different and make it different, it will continue as is until they get you. Perception of God, aliens, and man. I remind you who would take exception to my input. That is fine, and you are welcome to your choices. However, you are children of the lie. You live in a perceived reality which is not. The reality lies in the dimension of energy life. You cannot place a definition of man on God, for man cannot see beyond the end of his proverbial nose. You know not what is God, nor will he, she, it ever be what you have been led to believe. That is one promise which will stand into infinity. Further, what God creates, he can uncreate as if it never was. The one beautiful portion of the game, however, is that he will always allow man to prevail if at all possible, because that becomes the perfection of his grace and reason for creation. Reality of needs in a physical world. Indeed, there are needs in a physical world which go beyond perception, because what is manifest must be attended by that same dimensional compression. Just as an automobile built to run its engine on carbon fuel, so too will the machinery of the physical mechanical body require fuel to continue to function. Note that when the brain is actually dead and the astral mind is severed from the housing, the body begins immediately to break down and decay. Life support through artificial means is good for a while, but the body is actually dead to its own environment while the mind is still quite capable of observing the phenomenon. Senators are space aliens. I wouldn't place much credence on weekly world news to break such a story, especially between the finite differences of space aliens versus space cadets. However, you are in store for far more strange things coming to your attention, and this is only a prelude to get you into a mode of denial, ridicule, and hilarity. Indeed, far stranger things are about to come into your attention than Sam Nunn be a space alien. Many are better qualified as spaced out something or others, but the aliens of your intent would not wish to claim them. Jay Rockefeller is a different matter. And all of you had better start looking into the whole of the Rockefeller lineage. And you had better start relating the connections to this new world order. You will have a very tiny window of opportunity to bring your own order and constitutional function to your nation. Or it will be the planned world, one world order and control, whether or not you like it. Indeed, there are aliens among you, everywhere among you. There are ones in very high places, beyond such as senators. These cute stories are to distract you, good people, from the facts which are ready to be exposed. However, please hold it in your hearts. No self-respecting space alien would be so silly, especially in a time of chaos and crisis. Space aliens can't afford the luxury, if advanced to thought transition, of fun and games. You can't. Oh, I said that wrong. Space aliens can afford the luxury, if advanced to thought transition, of fun and games. You can't. Several individuals are specifically named, and I am amused indeed. Didn't we send Glenn back to you? I thought he made a loop into space and we rejected him. We left him to your savings and loan business and of the elite money grabbers. I also see that one Graham says he comes from a place called Remulac. Well, that one sounds like a regurgitated fish fungus of some kind. I really would, however, keep a sharp eye on one such as Carl Sagan, Warren Christopher, and a few old buddies you thought gone forever, not to infer that Sagan and Christopher have ever gone anywhere. Since there is no such thing as death of mind, there is no way to be assured of getting rid of anyone or anything. So be it. May the force be with you.